know, I believe that church, going to church should be, it's not always the case, but going to church should be a life-changing experience. Amen? And we can come on for a purpose, for a reason, you know. And we began to talk last week, you know, and about the name of the series, as you can see up here, is Living by the Word of God. Let's start with Matthew chapter 4 once again. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says that Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness and there to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Now notice in verse 3 it says that the tempter. Now notice that one of the synonyms for the word for the devil is called the what? The tempter. Okay? The tempter, which is the devil, came to him and he said, "If you be the Son of God," so he's questioning his identity. That's the same way the enemy will come at you today. Amen. He'll start to have you question your identity. Amen. People have an identity crisis. But when we come to Christ and we come to Him, we find our new identity. Amen. But he says right here that if you're really the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But look at what Jesus did in verse 4. He answered and said, now he spoke out loud and he said some words to the enemy. Now what did he do? He quoted a verse of Scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. I'm just reiterating some of the things we shared last Sunday. But he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now that's the phrase I want you to notice there. We shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, as you read on here, we're not going to do that for sake of time here, but in Matthew 4, you'll see that there were two other temptations that the enemy brought to Jesus. Now, you have to understand that Jesus had to pass the test that Adam failed. What was the test that Adam failed? It was what? With food, right? Okay, well, the first temptation that came to Jesus was in the area of food, all right? And Jesus is actually called the last or second Adam, where at the first Adam, which is Adam in the Garden of Eden, you know, he failed, did he not? But Jesus is called, in 1 Corinthians 15, he's called the last Adam or the second Adam, and he passed the test that Adam failed. So that he could identify with you and with I. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted in every single point, yet without sin. Okay? Now there's a whole bunch of different ways we could go right here. It's like a big intersection. You know what I'm saying? But I want to stay focused as much as I possibly can here because we're talking about living by the Word of God. Living by the Word of God is actually true liberty and freedom. And by the impression that some people get when you talk to them, they're like, "You mean you got to do that Bible stuff, you know?" And yeah, no, we don't have to. We get to. Because when you do what the Word of God says, you get the blessings that come with being a doer of the Word of God, not just a hearer of the Word of God. Amen? See, I've been following the Lord long enough. I got born again in 1976 as a 16-year-old teenager. And I've endeavored to do my very best since that time to serve God. And it's been a few years. Amen? And I have never, ever had any regrets whatsoever in all these years of serving God. Have there been hard times? Of course. Have there been disappointments? Of course. Plenty of them. But in the final analysis, when you trust what the Word of God has to say. See, I got saved with some people, some friends of mine that were basically my age, you know. And back in those days, you know, this is during the end of the charismatic renewal, and there's people coming out of all these denominations. Some of you probably got saved in that particular move of God. And people are just coming out of the woodwork, out of denominational churches and giving their hearts to the Lord. And I was one of them. I came out of the Methodist church and somebody shared the gospel with me and it just revolutionized. It changed my life, you know. But I had some other peers and some other friends that got just as excited that I did. But when you look across the scene right now, they are no longer on the horizon. They're not even on the radar screen, okay? Because of they didn't hold fast to the Word of God. See, people can get enlightened. They can even get saved. and receive Christ. But it's another thing, you know, I like it this way. Gloria Copeland said this years ago. I can't say it any better than she did. She said that the act of continuing creates freedom. Amen? And when you continue in something, the act of continuing creates a freedom. And we'll get into a scripture here in just a minute. But notice that Jesus said this. He's quoting a scripture. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Or we'd say natural food. Okay? But he said, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Well, the opposite would be true, right? If you live by every word, then you die by the words of the devil. Mm-hmm. Correct? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. Are y'all with me tonight? Just pinch yourself if you need to be woken up or something. Amen. But here's the fact that when we live by the word of God and we govern our lives and our lifestyle, our belief system, when we govern it by the word of God, that is going to bring true liberty in every single area of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go over to John chapter 8 for a minute here, and I want to show you something here once again. We saw this last week in John chapter 8. Very interesting, because how many of you ever here have gotten, you bought a vehicle or a new vehicle, and there was an owner's manual that came with that vehicle? How many know what I'm talking about? All right. Now, you get pretty confused if you took that same owner's manual and you put it in somebody else's car that was a totally different car, because it wouldn't even match up. Okay? Everything's different. When you got born again as a child of God and you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's all that means, is believing on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that God gave you an owner's manual called the Bible. And that Bible is meant to be our new creation owner's manual to teach us how to live in this life. Okay? Not just a bunch of rules, but to show us what life is like, how we can live and how we can be blessed in this life. How many of you here have had the Word of God transform your life at some point in your life? Some kind of error in your life? Well, God's not done yet. Now, you'll see here in John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, and Jesus, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My Word. Now, notice that phrase right there, if you continue in My Word. Then are you My disciples. It's where we get our English word disciplined. Okay? A lot of people don't like that word, discipline. Amen. But He says, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples, or disciplined followers indeed. Now notice verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right? Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Amen. Now, a lot of times, and I've said this last week, that we quote the 32nd verse where we said, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But that's only part of the verse. Because in verse 31, it says, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And that continuing, He says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen. See, when I found out the truth about that, I didn't have to live a sinful lifestyle, that I didn't have to live in sin and corruption. The truth was, I could be born again. I could be saved. That's the first time I heard the gospel. And when I believed on that and said that and made Jesus the Lord of my life, that truth set me free in that area. Okay? And as I progressed, and as you progressed in the things of God, you begin to find out, oh my goodness, this belongs to me and this belongs to me. And it's kind of like this in Psalm 103. It says, bless the psalmist said this. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all of His benefits. Okay? Preacher, I heard a preacher one time said, if I'm going to have a fit, I'm going to have a benefit. I like that. But he said, forget not all His benefits. And he said, He forgives all of your sins and iniquities, number one. And number two, He heals all of your diseases. And number three, He redeems your life from destruction. And number four, He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. And there's another scripture in Psalms that says that He daily loads us with benefits. And I believe that's where Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. He was quoting that scripture. David said this in the Bible. He says, He daily loads us with benefits. Amen? And by the way, some folks talk, some believers talk, you say, well, about every 10 years He loads me with a benefit here and there. But no, David said, by inspiration, he says, He daily loads me with benefits. I'm going to shift gears a little bit here, but you know, I had the Lord deal with me about this a little while back, a month or two ago, and he speaks to our spirits. When we communicate with Him and we fellowship with God, it should not be an abnormal thing where we hear God inside of us. God can speak to you by impressions, thoughts He puts inside you, and those thoughts and those impressions are meant to lift you up and to help you. Do you know that? Are you with me? And the Lord wants to help us. Praise God. He said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Lord, what was that? That just slipped my mind. I was going in a certain direction there, and bring it back to my remembrance here. You shall know the truth, and the truth. Let's say that. You shall know the truth,
and that truth
will make me free. Okay? So it's the act of continuing there that creates freedom. Yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. There it was. He said this to me. See, right there, we just leaned on the Holy Spirit because I forgot which direction I was going there. It just slipped my mind, but the Lord brought it back to my remembrance. Amen. And then He said this to me. He said, Keith, you may not get what you want, but you will always get what you expect. I want to break that down a little bit. He said, you may not get what you want, but you will always get what you expect. Because what you want and what you expect are two different things. Okay? And I want to create an expectation on the inside of you, amen, for the things that God has already provided for you and for me. They're not for that sweet by in heaven, that pie in the sky mentality. It's not. But these things that God has provided for us are for the here and now, right now. Okay? You can be blessed right now in this earth, right now. God knows your address. He knows where you live. And He wants to bless you right now. Now, if you don't believe that, it's probably not going to come near your house. Okay? It's not going to come knocking on your door. But if you have an expectation, well, I'm telling you what, there's something about that. Let me give you an example. You remember the guy that was a crippled person? He couldn't walk, and he was sitting at the gate, beautiful. Remember that? Begging for alms. Remember that? And the Bible says at the hour of prayer in the book of Acts in chapter 3, it says Peter and John were going. This was a normal procedure. They would go to the temple every day at the hour of prayer, and it was a normal thing that they would do. Well, this man was sitting there begging alms. He was hitting on all the Christians. He probably had a big sign that said, I'll work for money or something. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But it says that Peter and John said this. He said, look on us. And he said he gave heed expecting to receive something from them. Okay? He had an expectation, this guy, expecting to receive. He was expecting to receive money. But you know, if you're a crippled person, the money's not going to heal you. Nothing wrong with money, but money's not going to heal your body. His broken legs or dysfunctional legs, the money's not going to pay for that. But Peter and John looked on him. He said, you know what? Silver and gold have I none. Amen? Peter was married. You know, he said, my wife has the money back home. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Praise the Lord. So what did he do? He reached down and pulled him up, and he began to walk by the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. See, there was an expectation that was there. And when we have an expectation of good things happening to us, we will attract those things to us. Amen? Now, regardless of how we grew up, and maybe you grew up in an atmosphere where everything was just negative all the time. You know what I'm saying? If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Remember that? And just negative about everything, you know. And that's an expectation, but see, that's in the wrong realm, okay? If you have an expectation that people are going to take you for granted, you know, take advantage of you and that kind of a thing, then usually that will happen. That will attract that kind of thing to you. But we have to reverse the curse, and we have to have an expectation of goodness and mercy were going to follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Now, it's kind of like this. Did you ever order something online and you get for example, you get an email that shows the tracking number, you know. I just did this for the new iPhone 6. I got one right here. Praise the Lord. And I saw about a week and a half ago what city that thing was in, you know, and where it was going each day, you know. And I knew the exact day it was. I didn't know the exact time, but I knew the exact day that it was going to show up. Well, it created an expectation in me about that phone showing up. I haven't even seen it yet. Okay? All I have is a piece of paper that's not, well, an email that tells me here's where it is. And guess what? When that day showed up on the 19th day of September, the FedEx man showed up with that package, okay? And now it's a reality. But see, up until that point, it was just an expectation that the thing that I ordered was on its way. And I was already making plans for it, okay? And so I'm sure you've done the same thing. But spiritually speaking, we should be able to, when we read the Word of God and we see a promise or two in the Word of God, that should create an expectation on the inside of us that just encourages, feeds us to say, that's mine. Amen? And when you have that type of expectation can come up. It's kind of like at the ocean. You got the high tides, the low tides, you know. And they tell you the tides. There's a tide chart that tells you one that's going to be high tide, so forth and so on, right? Well, we can create a high tide in our lives of the expectation of God's goodness and His blessings coming our way. Praise God. You say, well, Brother Keith, you know, that just doesn't come naturally for me. Well, that's true. That doesn't normally come naturally for anybody. But we can create an atmosphere where we begin to put an expectation. Here's another example that just came to mind was Mark chapter 5, the woman that had an issue of blood. Remember that in Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through verse 35? And it says that she had this blood disease, you know, and it was against the Levitical law for her to be out in public. You know, she could have been stoned for that. And not only that, it says she spent all that she had on the physicians and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She had spent her last dime going to physician after physician to try to say, can you heal me? Can you cure me of this thing? Well, she had an expectation, but they just let her down. Well, the time came where, you know, she had spent every last dime. She's broke, and now she's in a position physically where she's perishing, okay? She's basically bleeding to death, okay? But somebody came to her and shared with her, because it says when she heard of Jesus, so someone had to tell her about Jesus. The Bible says she came in the press behind, for she said within herself, she kept saying, if I might but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. Now the Amplified brings out, she kept saying over and over again. So what is she doing? When she kept saying that, it was building an expectation on the inside of her heart and her mind that if I can just get to Him and if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I got it. I got it. Well, back in those days, you have to understand, if you wanted healing, you had to go where Jesus was. You know, if you're in Capernaum and He's in Nazareth, you got to hoof it. You got to go. Well, she went to where Jesus was, and there was a big group of people, you know. The Bible says there was a press of people. And the Scripture tells us that she pressed through the crowd. See, even the press was back then. CNN, whatever. Yeah. Now, there's just a press of people. And she broke through there, and she was probably getting elbowed and everything else, you know, and she broke through that thing, and she touched the hem of His garment. Now, there's all these people touching Jesus, okay? No sparks were flying. But when this woman touched Jesus, he wasn't even aware of it. But he stopped because he felt virtue or power drain, come right out of him. And he stopped. He said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. Everybody's pressing on you." He said, "No, someone made a demand on my power." And he looked around to see what was. And then the woman, fearing and trembling, it says that she told him everything, just like a woman. 3 hours later. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. And I'm just teasing, you know. Hallelujah. I'll hear about it afterwards, I'm sure. But see, she pressed through the crowd. And all this opposition that was there. And, you know, let's just face the fact, it's not always easy to get blessed. Sometimes you got to work through some stuff. Sometimes you got to you got to work through emotions. You got to work through disappointments. People can let you down. Circumstances can let you down. I mean, it's just, it's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes we have to say, you know what? I know my bank account says this. I know my body's telling me this. I know Aunt Martha said this, but I'm going to press through and I'm going to receive everything that God has for you. Amen. You got to have a backbone. Mm-hmm. You got to just say, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to press through. Amen. Well, she got her miracle, didn't she? And he said, "Daughter," Jesus said this. He says, "Your faith has made you whole." W-H-O-L-E. Mm-hmm. You know what that means? Shalom. Peace.
Yeah.
Wholeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. That's what that word shalom means. Not just, "Hey, what's up? Hello," in Jewish. Right? It means nothing. We did a series on that back in the last year. And it said nothing missing, nothing broken. And she was made whole of that disease. Never had that hemorrhaging again. Hallelujah. But what did that? She had an expectation on the inside of her that if I can just get to Jesus, I'll be made whole. Okay, Brother Keith. All right, that's that woman, but she was there. Jesus physically was there. What about me today? I can't go over there and to, you know, Israel or Jerusalem, and I can't find Jesus walking around the streets, and I can't go over and grab the hem of his garment. So that's a disadvantage. No, 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 no. See, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he sent his same Spirit, the same Spirit. See, it was the Holy Ghost that healed that woman. But her faith made a demand on the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Spirit's everywhere. Do you know that he's omnipresent? He's everywhere at once. Everywhere. But he's not always manifest everywhere. Okay? It's just like the air that's in this room. You can't see it, but you know it's here. Because if it wasn't here, we wouldn't be here. Correct? There's electrical waves that are going through this room right now. You can't see it, but they're there. They're real. Well, the Holy Spirit's real, and his power is real. But see, his power is not always manifest. But when we make a demand by faith, then the power of God comes into operation. Amen?
Amen.
When I had hands laid on me back in, what month was that? February? When we were... Yeah, that was early March, late February, early March. You know, when Brother Copeland laid hands on me, he released his faith, I released my faith, and I drew the line. I said, "That's it. That's it. Amen." And the power of God, I didn't feel anything, but I don't have to feel anything because it's what we believe, it's not what we feel. Okay? And I stand here completely healed. Nothing wrong. Amen. But see, faith makes a demand on the power of God in your life. And when you release your faith to believe God for what he says in his word, then the power of God will be displayed on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Instead of sitting around wishing and hoping, "Lord, I just hope you'd do something. I wish you would do something." God is saying, "If you just believe me, all things are possible."
Yeah.
See, believe is not just like a mental state. A believe is an action. Belief means to believe on, believe into. It puts action into something. Mm-hmm. The fact that you believe in Jesus Christ, you got born again, right? How many of you believe in Jesus? You got born again. You are a child of God. And if you were to leave this earth, which you're not right now, you would go directly to be with Jesus in heaven. Well, what? That was no accident. You believed on something, right? Your faith was released that you believed Jesus died and was raised from the dead. And that's, you know, here's another thing I want to mention. It's so important. You have already exhibited tremendous faith by believing something that you haven't even seen yet. Remember when Thomas didn't believe in the resurrection? And finally Jesus appeared to him. And he says, "My Lord, my God." Remember that? And he said, "Thomas, put your hands in the nail prints of my hand and my side. Thrust your hand in my side." And he said, Thomas said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus said something to Thomas here, because Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe in the resurrection until I can see it, feel it, hear it, you know, five senses." But here's what Jesus said to him. He said, "Thomas, blessed are they that have not seen yet believe." How many of here, just be honest, how many of here have ever, not on a painting or a cross or something, but literally, in an open vision, how many of you ever seen Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay. I don't see anybody. How many of you believe in Jesus? Raise your hand. Matter of fact, you wouldn't even be here tonight if you didn't believe in Jesus. Okay? Listen, did you ever stop to think about it? Jesus says, you are blessed, because blessed are they that haven't seen, yet they believe. Are you with me?
Amen.
See, you have already exhibited and demonstrated a powerful faith. Maybe you didn't know that till right tonight. You have already demonstrated the fact that you believe in something you can't see, and it became vital in your life. You couldn't beat it out you with a stick, right? Because you believe in Jesus, don't you? But you haven't seen him. He didn't appear to you. He could have. He could have appeared to you and said, you know, "Hey, I'm Jesus, the Son of God." Now, you know, I will say this, that he is appearing to many Muslims.
Amen.
I'm telling you, there are many, many in the Muslim community. Jesus is manifesting himself to them. I know of one in particular. Jesus, in an open vision, appeared to this guy. He had no idea what was going on. He got radically saved as a result of it, you know, because they just don't believe anything. They believe the wrong thing, of course. But if you haven't seen Jesus and you believe in him and you're saved, you have already demonstrated tremendous faith, because it changed your eternal destiny. Amen. Stop and think about that. It changed your eternal destiny. You were going to hell, now you're going to heaven. Because of a belief system, because you believe on Jesus. Are you with me now? Okay? Now stay with me here, because if you've already demonstrated that kind of faith and you received the reality of salvation, that same faith will work in other areas. Amen? Jesus said, "Blessed are they that have not seen yet believe." Listen, if you believe that Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses, and you haven't seen it yet, or you haven't felt it yet, but you believe the Word of God, you are blessed. Okay? And that's not just for the Lord to say, capital B, you're blessed, you know, like a religious term. But it's an empowerment. It's an empowerment. When you are blessed, you are empowered. Amen? See, we religiousize everything. We make it like, "Blessed art thou," you know, you know, and but there's power behind those words. When Jesus blessed the little children that came to him, there was an empowerment that went into them. When he laid hands on the sick, there was an empowerment that went into them. Okay, and see, when you believe God for something and you haven't seen it with these eyes yet, but you still keep believing, amen. There's your faith is literally working behind the scenes, and you can't even see it yet. There are things I remember, well, a lot of things through the years, that I would put my faith out and believe God for something. And something physical, you know? Not just spiritual, but physical. And every time that I would do that, my mind would tell me, you know, this is not going to happen. This is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And of course, you know, that's the enemy always behind that telling you it ain't going to work. It's not going to work for you. It might work for them, but it's not going to work for you. Amen? Well, if you hold fast to your belief system and you keep saying what God's Word says, only you will have what God says. If you say, I am highly favored and highly blessed, and that's all you say, because that's what the Bible says about you. Amen? Amen. See, here's where sometimes Christians get in dangerous territory, because they think, you know, what about all this positive confession and speaking this and speaking that, you know, and as if some man made it up. But listen to me. If God says something about you through His Word, is it wrong for you to say the same thing? Of course not. Actually, if God says something about you and you say the contrary, that's where it goes against what God's Word is. Amen? Amen? If I say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, unlearned people would say, that sounds egotistical, that sounds prideful, but in actuality, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, Him who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. God calls you righteous. If you're a child of God, you're righteous. What's that mean? Right standing. As if sin never existed. That sounds too good to be true. No, that's the grace of God. Amen? That He loved us so much that He not only forgave your sins, but He says, now I've made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You have right standing with God. So it's not wrong for me to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about announcing it to everybody else out there. They may not understand that. But, you know, I got to do it for my benefit, for my sake. Now, when I first got turned on to the Word of God, somebody, one of the ministers that I was listening to at that time said, you know, to make this a reality in your life, you got to go look in the mirror and you got to talk to yourself. Now that seemed real funny to me at the time. Okay? That just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but I was dumb enough to believe what he said. Hallelujah. Are you with me now? And so I'd be driving down the road and nobody's in the car except me and God, you know, and I'd look in the mirror, the rearview mirror, and I would say, you know what? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I found out later in life that there were other great men of God, like Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, where they had miracles of people being raised from the dead, several people being raised from the dead. I mean, these are powerful, powerful miracles. And like Wigglesworth, he would go look in the mirror and he would grab himself by the lapels of his jacket. He would say, you, God lives in that man. John G. Lake would do the same thing. And he was pointing at himself in there. He said, you, God lives in you. And tonight you are anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he would just talk to himself. And then they would go out and do the miracles. Amen? Now that sounds kind of crazy, but it's better than letting the devil talk to you. If we get a God inside-minded image of what God is, an imprint on the inside of us, just like the old Polaroid cameras, you know, that remember when they would take a picture, snap the picture, and then the thing would come out, and it just looked like a black slate, right? And all of a sudden, how many of you remember that? And you would look at that, and all of a sudden, oh, I see something there. Yeah, there it is. You know, about 5 minutes later, there's a full picture on that Polaroid, on that imprint, okay? And so the Word of God will put an imprint on the inside of us. Amen? And how do we do that? We do that with the Word of God. We take the Word of God and we put that Scripture on the inside of us. If you have a financial need in your life, What do we need to do? We need to take scriptures that talk about provision, okay? Put them in our eyes, speak them out loud, and speak them over and over again where they get down on the inside of us, and all of a sudden, that image and that impression that's in your spirit will literally cause something in the natural to take place. It will take place. The Word will become flesh and dwell among you. Amen. See, the Word is spiritual, but it can take on physical manifestations. Praise God. The Word of God's so powerful, isn't it? Where we're going all over the place here. John 17:17. John 17:17. You remember we quoted there that Jesus said, "You know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So notice the parallel between the Word of God being the truth and the truth being the Word of God. They're one and the same. So when he said, "You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free," he is actually saying, if you know the Word of God will set you free. Amen. Here's something we need to do and practice on a regular basis. When you face the crisis of life and something, you know, things come up in our lives, different things happen in our lives, you know, and we're faced sometimes with challenges, all of us here. How many know what I'm talking about? But we need to ask ourselves, what does the Word of God say about this situation? Amen? Not what your friends say or somebody else says, because it may or may not be correct, right? But what does the Word of God say about this situation? If you have a pain in your physical body or a sickness attacking your physical body, you say, well, what does the Bible say about this? So many times we look at what other people are saying about these things, but it's, what does the Word of God say about this? What's it say about my body? If you have a financial need in your life, what does the Word of God say about this? If you have a relational situation in your life, what does the Word of God say about this? And by doing that, you're gonna get, we're talking about living by the Word. And you ask yourself the question, what does the Bible say about this? Right? And the Word of God has an answer for every single one of these things that we face. Okay? Okay. I wrote down here, and we covered this a little bit last week, that the Word of God has all sustaining power in it. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 1 real quick here. Don't worry, I'm not going to keep you all night here. Praise God. I'll let you out by 10:30 tonight, all right? But the Word of God has all sustaining power. And I want you to notice that Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, says, God, who at sundry times or different times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, whom also He made the worlds. Do you see that? This is talking about Jesus. The Bible says, in the beginning God spoke and God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that we got the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who was the one that spoke them into existence? Jesus, in His pre-incarnate state, okay? See, when Jesus was born in the manger, that's not when all of a sudden He just showed up. He was already pre-existed with the Father, okay? They never had a beginning. Now, don't try to figure that out, okay? They never had a beginning, never have an end, eternal, okay? Someday you will understand that, okay? Because we can't think in that term right now. But Jesus, when the Bible says God said, "Let there be light," that was Jesus saying, "Let there be light." Now go over to Colossians. I want to show you this. The first chapter, Colossians chapter 1. Oh, we're already there. Praise the Lord. Lightning fast. All right, let's start in verse 12. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. Notice verse 13. Who hath. Say who hath. Yes. Now, what we don't talk it. We don't talk like that, hath. We would say has. Now, here's what I want you to see. Who has, past tense, delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, is this going to happen in the future? It's already happened, hasn't it? He's delivered us from the, verse 13, from the power of darkness, glory to God. He has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful right there? All these things He's done for us. Now, verse 15 says, who is the image of the invisible God? Talking about Jesus, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, things that were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him do all things consist. Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. And I wanted to read those verses of Scripture because I want you to see here that in Hebrews that we just read, in Hebrews chapter 1, it's important to go through these Scriptures. You know what I mean? To see these things because it forms a belief system and on the inside of us that Jesus Christ is upholding all things by the word of His power. The planets and the solar system, it's all hanging out there on the Word of God, okay? Now, why do I say that? Because that same Word that's sustaining the solar system and the planets and everything else, I mean, He's just bouncing, though. They're just still there. They're perfect, right? That same Word that set that in motion is the same Word of God that will sustain your life, okay? And when you put God's word in your mouth, in your lips, and you decree the word of God, that's exactly what's going to happen to you. Amen. The Bible says that the worlds were framed by the, in Hebrews chapter 11, the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, you're not going to go out and create another universe because it's not necessary. You're not going to go create another world, but you can control the world. You can create the world in which you live. By saying certain things. Amen. Amen? Amen. For example, you know, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible on the subject of divine favor. In Psalm chapter 5, it says, Thou, Lord, will surround us with favor as if a shield and encompass us round about. You know, Jesus increased in favor and stature and wisdom with men and favor with God and man. There's a lot of scriptures about favor. And favor means that people will bend over backwards to be good to you. How many of you could use some of that? Okay. Well, if we begin to decree these things from the Word of God, we begin to decree, you wake up in the morning, it's Monday morning. You know, tomorrow morning, it's cold outside, it's not really nice outside. But you begin to declare, I have favor with God and with man everywhere I go. You just say that phrase, I have favor with God, I have favor with man everywhere I go. And that's the only thing that you begin to say. Then you will begin to experience favor on an uncommon level. I'm talking favor after favor after favor. Amen. I'm telling you what, they can move you from the regular seat in an airplane and put you in first class. I've had it happen. Amen. And there's a spirit of envy that comes on everybody else, you know. But the favor of God is meant, it's there for every single believer. And you might need favor with a government. You might need favor with an employer, whatever the situation might be. Well, the favor is there. Jesus increased in divine favor. Okay? And it's better than talking the problem all the time. Okay? Do you ever notice it's so easy to just talk the problem all the time? just rehearse the problem over and over. I got a problem with this, I got a problem with that. And you keep talking it over and over and over again. And all that does is make it worse. It doesn't change the situation. Okay? But when you talk the Word of God and you start talking it and saying it and talking the Word of God, it will create an expectation inside of your life and it will draw that thing to you. Praise God. So the Word of God has all sustaining power on the inside of it. Let's close with this. Go over to the book of Psalms 119. See, we're talking about living by the Word of God. We're living the when you live in the Word, you're living in the truth. Now we're going to see something about light here. So the Word has all sustaining power in it. The Word of God has light. Psalm 119, verse 30, 130, it says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding unto the simple." Now notice verse 130, it says, "The entrance of God's word giveth what?" Okay. So this isn't talking about physical light like we have the light bulbs in here and so forth. There's a spiritual light. He says when you hear the Word of God, it's going to create spiritual light. Okay? Now, the 105th, same Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Okay? So this Word of God is a spiritual light, and it will show you how to walk that out. You know, as a pastor, you know, a lot of people have an idea what a pastor is supposed to do, okay, based on their ideas, how they grew up, what their pastor did and everything. But we have to look at the ministry of a pastor in light with the Word of God, amen? And the number one thing that a pastor is supposed to do, they have to spend time with God and seek the Lord, but to give words of life and light to help people and to lift them up out of the miry clay in their lives. And the best way we can do that is we can give people the Scripture, the Word of God. That's the best counsel you could give anybody, is to give them with a loving spirit, with a kind heart, is to give them, you know, Scriptures that can help them to lift them out of that situation. Amen? And I know there's been many, many, many times through the years that I've talked with folks that are in all kinds of situations. But I searched my heart in that situation there. What scripture do they need right now? What verse of Scripture can help them the most in this situation right now? And when you give the Scripture to that person or that family or whatever, that brings light to them to see that there's a future here. It's a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path. It'll show you the pathway. Okay? And so, look at this scripture. You don't have to turn it, but go ahead and turn, Joseph. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 5. "O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Come, let us walk. Notice this, in the light of the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But then he turned to his disciples. He says, now you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Light represents development, okay? Increase. And the Word of God, when it's increased in our lives, will create a spiritual light. You see, when people don't have the Word of God, you know, why did they call the Dark Ages the Dark Ages? Because there was no Word. The Word was taken away. It was dark. Okay? I mean, it can be full blasted sun outside, you know, but still be dark inside, right? Because that's a physical light. But I'm telling you, the spiritual, the Word of God, when it's removed from people's lives, it creates a spiritual darkness. Because really, darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. Isn't that the truth? There's not so much darkness that it can just put out a light, one single little light. No, darkness is nothing more than the absence of light. All right? Well, our minds sometimes, we have dark areas in our minds because we lack knowledge of the Word of God in certain areas, right? But when the Word of God is presented to us, it produces a spiritual light to us and understanding that, wow, I see this, okay? Have you ever been enlightened before? You ever read a verse of Scripture and you're like, I didn't see that before. It's like, whoa, someone's ministering the Word of God and it just comes alive to you. Well, what happened is light from the Word of God enlightened you and it helped you, okay? Now, here's the last scripture. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Let me tell you a little bit, in as I close here, of what we are about. I know the majority of our people are not here right now. I'll share this again probably next week, this part of it. But I want to tell you a little bit about our vision, what's in our hearts, the things that God has placed on the inside of us from day one. And a major part of our calling is to teach people to become skillful in the word of righteousness. That's one of the major parts of my calling as a pastor, is to teach you how to operate and be skillful in the word of righteousness. Now, check this out. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, I have many things to say, but they're hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have one need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such that need milk and not of strong meat. But everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Spiritually, of course. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay? Now, I wanted to read that scripture to you here because Paul, when he came to the Hebrew Christians, he said, you've been in this thing long enough. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you ought to be instructors by now. You ought to be able to teach other people right now. But he goes, it's not like that. He goes, I had to come and I got to give you the milk of the word again. Okay? Now, when we're first born again, 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Okay? And when a baby is born, of course, that's the only thing that they can feed on is milk, right? Well, in the process of time, as that baby develops and grows, it's going to be able to handle solid food. And so it is spiritually. And one of the major things that are in our heart for what we're called to do is to teach people how to become skillful in the word of righteousness. That's what we're doing tonight. Now, it's not always, jump through the hoop and get all excited and everything, because this is line upon line, precept upon precept. Your flesh might not get real entertained. But the Word of God going in your heart is going to help you and me to bring maturity in our lives so that we can look back and say, 5 months from now, say, whoa, I've really grown in some areas of my life. Okay? How many of you have done that? I mean, you look back and you say, there's been some areas you've really grown in the last year, Well, that process should continue as we get into the Word of God, as we grow in the things of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's all I have for tonight. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah.